Let's turn tonight in the Word of God to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to take our introduction from this passage, and then we're going to turn to some other verses of Scripture. But we'll commence with this passage, Isaiah chapter 43. And here we have the Word of God commencing at verse number 1. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Maybe there's someone tonight in this meeting, and you're saved, but there's fear and anxiety in your heart. Maybe it's about the future. Maybe it's about circumstances. Here's a word for the Lord, from the Lord for you tonight. Fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And we should note just that little statement in verse 7. I have created him for my glory. That's what the Lord says to each heart tonight in this gathering. Verse 8. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any or be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we pray that thou wilt open our understanding. Lord, present to us afresh thy truth tonight. May God be glorified in what is said and proclaimed in this message. We pray, O God, that you will keep us faithful to thee and to thy truth. Help us not to say anything or to do anything, O God, that would dishonor thee. But we pray that this word will be instructive, it'll be edifying, it'll be effectual. Pray, Lord, tonight you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit, I pray. May God be glorified in this meeting. May souls be spoken to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The title of my message tonight is Bringing People to the Lord. Bringing people to the Lord. It is, of course, the general exhortation of Scripture. Look at verse number 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Verse number 12. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Friend, there's an onus on my life and your life tonight to live in such a way as to declare by the lives that we live, God is real. Now, the Bible tells us that creation declares the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. But we, by our lives, can bring glory to God, declare the glory of God by living in a holy manner, and by proving to others in this world that our God is real. How do we do that? Well, we witness for the Lord, I believe, in three ways. First of all, we witness with our life. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, we read these words. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, the light that we have is the light of Christ. It's the light of the gospel. I am the light of the world, saith the Lord. And the word shine there, let your light so shine before men. It means to radiate brilliancy, to beam or to give light, not just a little flicker, but to shine forth. And in reality, the light of Christ should be shining forth out of our life. We're living in a very dark world, and if we live in the glory of God, if we live in obedience to God, if we live in a manner that's holy, we will shine in this world. And it says there, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, good works can be used by the Lord to declare his glory. What does the word good mean? It means beautiful. And we think, of course, in Scripture, it speaks about the beauty of holiness. And it also means honest, valuable, and virtuous. So, child of God, we are to be beautiful in holiness. We are to be honest. We are to do things of value and things that are virtuous. And here's the end result of a life lived before God in this manner and before man, that the people might glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, that people might come to know that there is a God by your life and they might seek the God that you know. How wonderful to hear of a testimony where someone has been influenced by a godly life. Where someone has lived well and that well living and that shining forth of their light has spoken to someone. They maybe didn't even witness to them other than by the way they lived. But that was enough to create an interest in God. Friend, is our lives, or do our lives create an interest in the things of God? Or are we living in such a manner, if people would say, well, if that's a saved person, or if that's what the Lord does for you, I don't want to be like that person. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. And then not only do we witness by our life, but we also witness by our lips. And if you turn to Mark chapter 16, the last chapter of the book of Mark, and in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15, we read these words. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So we see the two types of people in the world, those who are saved, those who are damned. But there's a notice in all of God's people, go ye into all the world. The word go, it literally means travel. In other words, be up and about the work of God. Travel and tell the gospel to others. Now, that word preach there, of course it can signify one person, as I am doing tonight, speaking to a crowd of people and preaching the word of God. But the word means much, much more than that. This is not just for ministers. It's not just for preachers. The word preach there, it means to herald, to publish, or to proclaim. You see, we are there in the end of Mark's gospel. If you turn over to Luke chapter 8, you'll see this word used again. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 39. And this man was the man of the Gadarenes. He had been saved. He used to be running about naked and wild, and nobody could restrain him, but now he's sitting clothed in his right mind, following the Lord. But look at verse number 38 here of chapter 8. And it says there, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought Christ that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. That word published is the same word that is translated preach the gospel in Mark's gospel chapter 16. In other words, it means to share. It means to declare. And I don't believe that this man necessarily stood up in the town and got the whole town around, but I believe he told everybody he met. And that's the thought. Men and women, there's an onus on us to share the gospel with those that we meet. You see there, it says, to every creature. No man or no place is to be excluded. And of course, the word gospel means good news. This is good news. This is news that will set people free. This is news that will deliver them from the bondage of sin. So we witness by our life, let your light shine. We witness by our lips, and that, therefore, is how we speak to people about the gospel. But we also witness by our love. Turn to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, we read this very well-known verse, but we want to look at it slightly differently, just in this context. Romans 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. Now, it says, I'm not ashamed. The word ashamed means to feel disgrace. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm preaching the gospel, but I don't feel it's a disgraceful thing. I love it. And he has a passion and a love for the gospel and to share it with other people. And therefore, by his love for the word of God and his love for the gospel, his love obviously for the Lord, that he is declaring the gospel to the people that live around him. If you look at verse 15, just before it, so as much as in me, I am ready. That word means willing. I'm willing. I'm ready. I love the gospel. I love the Lord. I love the good news, and I am ready and I am willing to share it. But he goes a step further than that when we turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And his desire, and that word desire means that which will bring him satisfaction. The dream of his heart, the wish of his heart, the purpose of his life is that his fellow countrymen might be saved. I wonder if I would ask you tonight, what was your desire for this land? What is your heart's desire and prayer to God for Northern Ireland tonight? I trust above any political desire you have that your chief desire is the salvation of the men and women of this land. Regardless of what background or religion they claim, that your desire for them is that they might be saved. And tonight, men and women, I want to impress upon you, there is an exhortation from Scripture for us to go and reach souls for Christ. I want to share with you, before we look at just some examples of Scripture, five ways to begin reaching souls for Christ. Five steps you can take tonight to begin reaching souls for Christ. Number one, make a prayer list of souls to pray for and reach. This is one thing that every Christian should do. Whether it's in the back of your Bible or in a book, you open it and you write down prayer list. And you write down the list of people in your life that need to be saved. Then secondly, show Christian love to those for whom you pray. Show Christian love to those for whom you pray. You're praying for these people, and you want to win them for the Lord. Well, then you take every opportunity to show the love of Christ to them. When they're sick, call. If they're in difficulties, try and show love and help. Be practical in your Christianity. Now, those good deeds and those kindnesses will not save them. But friend, it might go some way for them to give a listening ear to you whenever you're going to speak about the Lord. And then number three, bring the gospel to people. Make the effort to bring the gospel to people. You can give a Bible. You can give a tract and say your Christmas card this year. You can give a book of a testimony or a CD or a DVD of gospel preaching. These are some things you can do. Bring the gospel to people. That's number three. But here's number four. Bring people to the gospel. And that would be church services, missions, special events. There was a survey done in the United States. Over 1,000 churches were surveyed, and they were asked how they first came into contact with the church that they now attend. And most of the answers out of the percentage of people that were there were single figures. I think the highest was 12%, other than the main one. Through a web page or through the internet, about 2%. Through a leaflet drop, about 2%. Through hearing it advertised, about 1%. Many other different reasons were given. But the highest percentage of people in the church who were introduced to the church were this. 84% of 1,000 people came to the church because they had a personal invitation by a friend or a family member. They had a personal invitation by a friend or family member. In other words, 840 people out of 1,000 went out and knocked someone's door, rang someone up, messaged them, or said, "Would you come with me to church?" And friends, we can publish on the internet, and we can advertise in newspapers, and we can do leaflet drops, but you know the most effective way, the most proven way of bringing people to God's house is by God's people going out and asking them to come in. And let's be honest, if we did that, we'd need chairs in the aisles, wouldn't we? If every Christian in this meeting sought to win someone and bring them in, we would need chairs in the aisle. So number one, make a prayer list of souls to pray for and reach. Number two, show Christian love to those for whom you pray. Number three, bring the gospel to people. Number four, bring people to the gospel. And number five, start today. Start today. Don't wait to the new year and say, "Oh, well, that'll be my new year's resolution," because it'll go like every other new year's resolution. Friends, start today. Souls are dying. Loved ones are on their way to a Christless eternity. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." Friend, do it today. Get the work started today. I want to look at three examples of personal witnessing in Scripture. And I trust and pray they'll encourage you. Firstly, I want you to see the man who brought his family to Christ. That's John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Now, of course, in this congregation, every single one of us have family members who are not saved. We have family members who need to be saved. And here we see an example of a man who brought a family member to Christ. It's John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35. "Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, 'What seek ye?' And they said unto him, 'Rabbi,'" which is being interpreted, "'Master, where dwellest thou?' And he saith unto them, 'Come and see.' And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, 'Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas,' which is by interpretation, a stone." Here we have a man who brought his family to Christ. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament? And in the Old Testament, there were Elisha came into the home of a lady, and she longed for a child, and God gave her a child. And while the child was out in the field, he felt sick, and he brought the child home, and the child died. Well, whenever this lady went to seek for the man of God, we read these words that he asked her. "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" The word "well" there means safe. Are they safe? And she said, "It is well." Don't forget about your family. You are your number one priority. And once you're saved, friend, you have to think about your spouse. And then you have to think about your children, and then your brothers and your sisters, and those family members and relations that you have. You see, you must start at Jerusalem. You must start in the home. You must be faithful in the place the Lord has placed you, then go to Judea, then Samaria, then into the world. And there's a great opportunity to be a faithful witness in your family and your home, because you're in contact with them so often outside of church. And you have the opportunity to show them how to live well for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say this, if you do not have a good testimony out of home, if you're one thing in public and another thing at home, if you don't have a good testimony at home, don't you leave the house to witness to others. You get your testimony. Is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And here we find a man, and he found the Lord. You see, there was faithful teaching here. John was preaching, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb," and he pointed to Christ. And that was faithful teaching. And as a result of faithful teaching, there was a successful result, because in verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Friend, that's our desire tonight. We're preaching in these services not that you come and follow the Free Presbyterian Church, Muckerfeld, but that you would follow Jesus. Friend, if you're not following Jesus, then you're on your way to hell. If you're not following Jesus, there's no hope for your soul. But praise God, if you follow Jesus tonight, then you can be saved and delivered from death and from judgment and from sin. I want you to notice Andrew was only following Jesus for minutes, but he already had a burden for his family to follow also. This man wasn't saved for weeks. He was saved for minutes. And he wanted other people to know the joy that he felt. You know, some people start think, well, I would need to be saved a little while before I start witnessing. I would need to know a bit more about Scripture. I certainly would need to have a bit more a mileage under my belt, as it were. No. You see, as soon as a candle is lit, it shines forth its light fully. Doesn't build up, but it shines forth. So too with Christ, you can be a witness within the very first hour of your salvation. Friend, don't be waiting until you're older. Don't wait for a better time, but witness now. And this young man testified of what he had found. Look what it says, 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah." What was he saying there? We found the Savior. The one of whom the Old Testament teaches and prophesies. We found salvation. We found life. We found freedom. We found it. Do your family know that you're saved? Do your family know that you love the Lord? And then it says in verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. The word there, brought, it means to lead, or it can also mean to carry. A friend, we can carry our loved ones to the Lord in prayer. We can lead them to the Lord by our actions, but often our actions sometimes turn people away. Who did he bring? He brought Peter. Now, Peter was going to be used mightily by the Lord. Peter's testimony still lives on today through the epistles that he wrote, through the sermon that he preached on that day at Pentecost, through the warnings in his life of being promising God one thing and not being able to live up to it. Oh, we have great teaching from the life of Peter. And you know what I thought about this? Andrew had no idea that day what the Lord was going to do through Peter. And friend, you could bring a family member to Christ and you've no idea, but they could be the greatest blessing in this church. They could be the greatest blessing in this community when the Lord saves them and changes them and uses them. We often think, well, they couldn't be saved. They enjoy that lifestyle. And they're people who frequent the public house, or they're people who don't go to church, or they're people who aren't interested. Friend, if someone came with a little bit of enthusiasm and said, come and see the one that we have found, maybe it would interest them to come and discover Christ. Are you seeking to win your family? Or you have some silly excuse saying, well, you know, they just wouldn't be interested, or they couldn't come, or they wouldn't come. This young man, he found the Lord, and he thought, you know what, I want to share this. And he went and he got his brother and he brought him in. When was the last time you brought a family member in? When was the last time you asked a family member to come into the house of the Lord? There's a man who brought his family. Then secondly, we have a woman who brought her neighbours. And if you turn over to John's Gospel chapter 4, we'll just read a few verses here. John's Gospel chapter 4. And it says there in verse 4, "And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." And then turn to verse 23. "But the hour is come," and the Lord speaking to this woman, "and now when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Then saith Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him." The first thing we notice here about this lady was that there was a great excitement when she found Christ. She couldn't keep this good news to herself. She wanted others to know that she had found the Lord. This was a simple woman, but she wanted others to know. And you'll find there that it says the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city. She didn't want to take that with her. That wasn't important just at this point. She left it down and she went into the city to tell others. You see, there was a certainty within her now because of her salvation and a desire for others to know. Look at verse 29. "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." The word come, it means come hither. Come on now, follow me. And there's a thought of urgency within this word. The word see, it means to know or to consider or understand that this man is special. Come and see. Look upon this man. And it's interesting, she says, come see a man. She was so young in the faith. She was so fresh, as it were, in her walk with God. She didn't realize this was a God-man. The Lord had revealed it, of course, in her heart that this was a Savior, but this wasn't just a man. This was fully God and fully man. This was a personal contact with a real Savior, and the impact it made in her life changed her. You know, she didn't care about the midday sun, which is what it was at the sixth hour. She ran back to the city to tell others about the Lord. She didn't care if people would mock, but she ran over there and she said, come and see a man. She told me all things that ever I did. And here's a lady, and she's telling others that there is a Savior. She's telling others that there is a Savior. These are not her family. No, these are her neighbors. She's telling the people of this city. Now notice the source of salvation. Look what it says, verse 39. "Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on the Lord for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did." So here we see this lady's testimony was used by God. Now friend, a testimony can be mightily used by God. A testimony is not just the moment you were saved or how the Lord saved you, but it's what the Lord is doing in your life. Many a person has testified to others, and that testimony has caused others to consider. For example, maybe there's been a difficult time in your life or in your family, or maybe in your health, but you're able to say to people, when they maybe say, oh, well, we're thinking about you, or, you know, how are you getting on? You say, well, you know what? The Lord has been so good to me and has given me peace within my heart. That's testimony. And how wonderful to be able to testify to your neighbors in your community of how good the Lord has been. And sometimes there are so many openings and opportunities that we have, but we fail to take them and we fail to use them. Not only was this lady's testimony used by God, but the salvation of this lady started a mission that was held for several days in this town. Look what it says in verse 40. "So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. There was a 2-day mission. The Lord spoke and the Lord preached. And we find in verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Yes, we believed you. And your testimony, God is out to hear this man. But you know what? We're not just resting on your testimony now. We're depending on the word that Christ spoke to us. We found him ourselves. And praise the Lord that this lady had a desire to see her community won for Christ. And she went out and she shared with them. And there was excitement, there was an interest, and they came out and the Lord testified, or the Lord preached, and precious souls were saved. Can I say also, like Andrew, when her eyes were opened and she was saved, there was an evident change. Like Andrew, she went immediately and told others what the Lord had done in their heart and desired that they would be brought to him. I want you to notice that the Lord used one of the most sinful ladies in that community. That woman was known for her sinfulness. In fact, the very fact that she was going at that time of the day of the sun being around noon, the sun being high in the sky, that was a time most people would have had their rest time. They would have stayed out of the midday sun. But because of her character and because of her sinfulness, she came at the time when most other people wouldn't be out in the day. She was a noted woman. She was an immoral woman. But I'll tell you something, the Lord changed her life, and it was the most sinful that the Lord used mightily in that city to round up the people that Christ could save them. Friend, it's not our job to categorize people and say, well, they'd be good. It's worth telling them. Not sure if it's worth me going there. We've no right to do that. Our only duty is to tell those in our sphere of influence who the Lord is. Friend, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives, and some of the most wicked of society, and let's not forget we're all sinners by nature. All sinners by nature. And some of those who are most openly sinful, saved by the grace of God, have been most mightily used by the Lord. The people of this community were visited by God. A lady's testimony started the blessing. You know, as I thought about that, how often do we say to people, maybe ring people or maybe we say to them, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Did you hear? And more often than not, there's nothing maybe wrong with what's being said, but you know what? Spiritually speaking, it's useless. When was the last time you shared the good news? When was the last time you were sent, oh, did you hear about that great meeting we had and the Lord was with us? Did you hear about that person that was saved? Oh, what did you hear about this thing I learned or read in Scripture last night? A lovely verse and it really blessed my heart. What did you hear how the Lord answered my prayer? Oh, may we be found gossiping the gospel and sharing it with others in our community. Here is a man who brought his family, a woman who brought her neighbours, and then finally tonight we have a child who brought her employer. If you turn there to 2 Kings chapter 5, we go to a familiar passage of God's word, but tonight we want to look just for a few moments at the little girl. 2 Kings in chapter number 5, and we'll read verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and they had brought away captive out of the land of Egypt, or land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. Then verse number 14. Then he went down at his Naaman and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Oh yes, we've the man who was working, bringing his family. The woman who was working, bringing her neighbours, and here's a child who's working, and she's bringing her employer. There's no age limit to the gospel evangelization, no age limit to working for the Lord. I want you to notice just a few things about this passage. Success and promotion couldn't help this man. This was a good man. This was a great man. A very successful man, actually. He was known by the king. He was respected and honored by the king. We find that as well. And I tell you something, we have many successful people around us. We have many successful people living in our community. They've built up businesses out of nothing. Maybe they've been able to get many degrees above their name, and you know, they've been able to work in high-profile jobs and maybe very intricate things, and they're successful people. But I tell you this, all need Christ. The gospel is not just for the down and out or the drunkard. The gospel's for all. It's for that successful businessman who doesn't have to think about money. It's for that educated person who is so intelligent and is able to rhyme off much of the scientific facts of this world. The gospel is for all. Someone once said, mankind is always advancing, but man remains the same. And society seems to be advancing, don't they, and making progress, as they call it. But the heart of man is still the same. And we're living in a world and a day which teaches us to be self-sufficient and self-supporting and self-sustaining in different avenues of life. And that's good in many ways. But you see, spiritually speaking, that is not the message of the Bible. We can't be self-sufficient spiritually. We can't be self-supporting spiritually. We can't be self-sustaining spiritually. There's no way any of us can do anything to earn favor with God or peace for eternity. You see, we must be resting on the one who is all-sufficient. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have a man who's successful and he's gained great promotion, but he's a great problem. He's a great problem. Friend tonight, no matter how successful you've been, and no matter how high up the career ladder you've climbed, if you do not have Christ, you have a great problem. You have sin, which is going to cost you eternity in hell. You have sin that's going to cost you separation from God. You have sin that's going to find you under the anger and the wrath of God forever and forever and forever. My friend, you need to be saved. Thank God in this foreign land where many idols were worshipped, there was a young girl who loved the Lord. What do we know about this girl? Well, we know something about this girl. She had a testimony. How do I know this girl had a testimony? I'll tell you why. Because they believed her. They believed her. Her character was such in that household that this little insignificant slave girl, this maid, was listened to. And they acted upon, in their eyes, an enemy girl's advice. So she had a testimony. She had a good character. She was believed. Friend, look even at her speech. The way she spoke about her master showed kindness. Oh, or would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. There was a desire there. And a love and a tenderness. She wasn't ashamed of her faith. She wasn't ashamed of her faith. She didn't say, would the gods. She said, would God, my God. Oh, to God, that my Lord or my master would be able to meet the man in Samaria. This girl had a compassionate heart. Put yourself in her situation. You're out with your friends one day and these enemy soldiers come in, and as they go through the city, they lift her roughly and they put her into the train that's going along, and she ends up in a foreign country, learning a foreign language in a brand new culture. She ends up in a place where she's trapped, separated from her friends and family, where she literally is a slave. But I tell you something, even in the most difficult circumstances, the Lord's love can shine through in a person's heart. And this young girl wanted a physical blessing for her master, but she also wanted a spiritual blessing for her master. And not only that, I believe this girl also had a responsibility. She knew the truth. She knew the one who could heal. She knew the one true and living God. And not only did she know it, she shared it. She could say, he deserves everything he's getting. He's not getting any information from me. No. Even though she hadn't been treated kindly, she knew the truth. And she shared it and she told it. Friends, are we sitting beside people in our workplaces who are on their way to hell? And we have the words of eternal life, but we've never told them they need to be saved. Maybe you've been through school with someone. And maybe from primary school right through, and maybe now you're in your teens and there's some friend of yours in school and you've never looked at them in the eye and told them they need to be saved. You know they don't go to church. You know they don't interest in the things of God. Maybe they don't even know. You never told them. Maybe you've been in your workplace for years, maybe decades. And people around you have been working, getting on with work, and you've got on with people, and you've been kind and pleasant to people, but there are people dying in their sin, and you haven't told them they need to be saved. Friend, if someone come in with an illness or a sickness, and you knew a cure, or you knew some remedy that had helped you or someone else, you go over to that person, you tell them, look, this is what you can do, and this will help you. And friend, we've the remedy for the soul of sinners, because they need Christ. What will it be if someone was able to say, you never told me? Why didn't you warn me? Oh, well, I didn't think you would want to hear. Well, I probably wouldn't want to hear, but why didn't you say? Why didn't you plead with me? You know, sometimes there's people and they complain about a preacher shouting. There'd be many a person in hell wish they'd heard a preacher shouting and pleading with their soul. What if a family member could look us in the eye and say, you didn't care? What if a neighbour in our community could come to our door and say, why did you not try and win me? What if someone you worked with was lost for all eternity in hell, and we never tried as much as prayer? This girl had a great privilege, because that man went away a sick, unsaved man. He returned a healed believer. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us here, but I wonder how the master returned to the house. I wonder how did he speak to that young girl? There's no way of knowing, because we're not told. But I know this. That girl entered into heaven with the well done of her Lord. And I'll say something else. This young girl wasn't there at his conversion, but she sowed the word. And she pointed him in the right direction, and she was a link in the chain that eventually led to his salvation. And you know, you may say something, and you may see no fruit for it, and you may see no outward change in it, but I'll tell you, you may meet people in heaven who'll say, thank you for what you said. Thank you for how you lived. Thank you for asking me to that meeting. I didn't go, but it set something thinking in my mind that eventually brought me to a meeting that led me to Christ. Friend, we don't know what could be done if we had faith to believe. And therefore, I say to you tonight, go and bring people to the Lord. Start tonight. Get that prayer list written. Get on your knees tonight and pray for those people by name. Love them. Show them love. Behind many a smile, there's a broken heart waiting for someone to care. And friend, you could be the person to reach out. Bring Christ to them. Maybe you're sitting in this meeting tonight, you've never been saved. And I've been talking about winning souls for Christ, but you can't do that because you've never been won yourself. Maybe you're like this man, Simon Peter. Maybe you're just getting on with your everyday life. Friend, you need to be saved. Maybe you're like the woman there in Samaria. Maybe you're notoriously wicked. Maybe your family think of you as a black sheep of the family. Maybe you are the one that the people in town whisper about. Friend, you need to be saved. Maybe you're like Naaman. Maybe you're a successful person in life. But friend, you still got a great problem. You have the problem of your sin. What I'm trying to say here is this. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter who you are tonight. If you're not saved, you need Christ. You need a call on the Lord to save you. Thank the Lord. There upon an old rugged cross, the Savior hung as a substitute for sinners. He bore the wrath of God, and he bore every consequence of sin that I deserved. He took my place and he died for me. Shed his precious blood, and that blood washed my heart from sin. The night I called him to come into my heart to save me. Friend, tonight in this meeting, if you're not saved, you can do the same thing. You can call on the Lord to save you. You can ask the Lord to change your life and deliver you. And praise God, he'll hear and he'll answer. And welcome you in the family of God. But I believe tonight the Lord is speaking in a loud way to God's people. And therefore tonight we're going to sing a final hymn and then we're going to come to prayer. And friend, make this the response of your heart tonight. It's hymn 419. 419. My friend, this hymn is a hymn of surrender. And dear Christian, if the Lord has challenged you to go and reach your family or your neighbours or your employers or employees for Christ, then this ought to be the prayer of your heart tonight. Ultimately, coming to verse number 6, may his beauty rest upon me. As I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. I'm going to stand, sing the whole of this hymn prayerfully, and then remain standing for prayer. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Unite our hearts in prayer. We say to the unsaved in this meeting tonight, trust Christ. That's what our meetings are about. That's what our desire is for you. Above health, wealth, success. Far above those things, we pray that you'll know Christ as Savior. Come tonight. If you're not sure how to come or you'd like to speak with myself or one of our elders, please come and make that known. We'll show you how you can be saved. Christian, has the Lord been speaking to you tonight? Has the Lord, by his Spirit, impressed upon your heart some dear souls, some names to start your service of witnessing for him? If the Lord has done that, then you go through with God. Will you promise before God tonight to answer that call? Will you promise before God tonight to reach those people? Will you promise to start today that the kingdom of God may be extended? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the call of thy word. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Oh, how sad to stand before the Lord with empty hands. Nothing but dust and ashes to lay at his feet. Lord, while there's time, while there's opportunity, help us to be up and about the Master's business. Help us to serve with all our hearts. Help us to go to all that thou would place upon us. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt build thy church through the individual witnessing of believers in this congregation. Oh Lord, please put a burden upon hearts to invite others to the services. Bathed in prayer and looking to Christ for the increase. Surely, Lord, it's time for thee to move. Use me, Lord, I pray this week. Use my brothers and my sisters. Oh, Lord, lead us in the way which we ought to go, for the glory of thy name. Amen.